Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, Daniel House was not leading. Obviously, he wasn't leading the he was leading the league in January when he left. 47% three-point shooting in January. He was getting red hot. He started out in three games in December. He shot 27%. In December, he shot 38% from three. And in January, 47% from three.
On an unrelated note, Iman Shumpert is 4 of 16 for 25% since joining the Rockets.
And so, I mean, that... It's hard to see Daryl making a point about a player in long term. I mean, players are just like, he discards them.
But
like,
you do have to, I would be interested to at least talk to him, because when it comes to salary cap and salary, like, there's nobody better than knowing all the loopholes of the league. This is, the two-way thing is kind of new. So I would be interested in hearing Daryl's explanation on, I'll see if he can get him on. I'm sure he won't come on, but I would be interested in hearing his explanation about what's the importance of this and could it really be a thing? Because this is clearly a longer... Daryl is a win-now guy. Trade now, win now, what player now? And this isn't a win-now move, mm-hmm. So this must be really important to not break precedent on two-way contracts. It must be a major, major deal in NBA circles. I just don't understand it enough because on paper, you need a three-point shooter. It ain't P.J. Tucker this year. It ain't going to be Iman Shumpert. You know, Eric Gordon can do it, obviously. Kenneth Faried is not a stretch four. It'd be nice to have another shooter out there. Crazy Gerald's Crazy Gerald. You just never know with him. It could be 27 points or 27 misses.
No, you don't have anything that you can actually really know you can count on coming off that bench.
And it's okay to have a gunner. It's okay to have a guy whose job is just to shoot threes. In fact, I would say you have to have that for what the Rockets do. And they haven't really had that. They haven't had that gunner who just is a three-point marksman.
Well, but yeah, yes, they did. They picked it up with Eric Gordon.
No, but he's off the dribble guy. Like, his job is actually more. He's a six-man. Yeah. I'm talking about just a guy who, you know what, if we want somebody who can just rein it in from the corner, somebody who could compete, well, okay, I'll make your point here. Somebody who can win a three-point contest are that good. Well, Eric Gordon actually won a three-point contest.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, you know that P.J. Tucker was, after Clay, P.J. Tucker, I believe, he and Trevor Ariza were top, I think they were both in the top three. It was Clay Thompson.
In corner three?
And in corner threes. P.J. Tucker was second.
Yeah, P.J.'s
he's not that,
jam.
He's not doing that this year.
No, but P.J.'s jam is the
corner three.
Yeah.
So,
and that's fine, but he's just not the same. He just hasn't been the same guy this year. So you really do need that guy to step up and find somebody off the bench that can really start making threes a little better clip. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And So we'll see. We'll see if anything happens with Daniel House. But as of right now, I don't see the Rockets giving in because they feel like it's a precedent issue and they don't want to set the precedent.
Is this – what's the window? See, because like
realistically, this could be the window.
This could be the window.
This could be the window if you're being realistic about Chris Paul and injury, and you look at history of injury over the last 3 or 4 years with Chris Paul, this could be the window.
You know, it's almost like Chris Paul is not right now an afterthought.
You know, PJ is actually shooting 36% from three. It's not last year where he was 37 or the year before when he was 40. But he also wasn't a volume shooter when he was 40. This year he's 36. I mean, you can live
with
that.
What's the number?
And he's actually averaging more points per game this year than he did last year. Why does it feel like he's not the same factor to me?
I don't know.
It doesn't feel – I don't feel PJ Tucker like I felt him last year. You could feel him in the game. And he does make the diving play he made the other night. That was, you know, the hustle play.
Maybe Fareed has taken over a lot of those tough inside rebounds that he was getting.
You know, he's averaging more rebounds. He's averaging more points. The same turnovers, the same – basically the same – he's averaging more steals.
He's not 0.5
blocks.
But feel like he's having the same impact on the game.
No, he's got a better field goal percentage this year than last year, 39, 39, 2. It's basically the same thing. His three-point percentage is lower, and his free throw percentage is lower. Maybe it's just the three-point percentage being lower because he is shooting up 1-3 more per game. He's getting more, even with James on the 30 hunt, he's getting a 1 3-pointer more per game this year. From 3-8 to 4-8, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, like you said, of all the guys that scored 36 points, James takes the fewest shots. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that we look at James as an ultimate ball hog.
No, I don't look at him like that, do you?
Well, nobody.
He's not the ultimate ball hog.
Well, nobody's taken more free. No, nobody has taken more attempts this year. Nobody's dribbled more than James. No, but nobody dribbles more than James either. He has the ball in his hands more than anybody in the league.
I'd be shocked if James doesn't lead the league in dribbles every year over the last 3 years. Well, except maybe Russ.
Right. Right. Well, Russ, a couple of years ago, James probably still led anyway. But that's the point about Chris Paul here, though. I know that we Chris Paul, the window is on. It seemed like in the last 2 minutes of the game, James just, it doesn't matter. And James, James had 42 and he was great and he shot a good percentage and he shot a good percentage from three, 36%. But in the last 3 minutes, he had two turnovers and missed three 3-pointers.
You know, James, average seconds per touch. This is really pretty incredible that they have this. But average seconds per touch is based on guys who played more than four games. It's James Harden, 6.41. Time of possession per second per clock on the clock is 9.7. James, he blows away John Wall at 7.8. All right, average dribbles per touch, Tony Parker.
Per touch, but Tony Parker doesn't touch the ball.
Well,
yeah, Tony Parker is not
nearly 41 touches. Yeah, I mean, DJ Augustine 6.66, James Harden 5.95.
How many touches does James have?
You know why it's not? You know why Russell Westbrook is not in there at the time of possession? Because as soon as he gets it, he's the original crazy Russ is the original crazy Russ. That's because as soon as he touches it, he's on a beeline to the basket as fast as he can. The ball's going up, or he's trying to dunk it.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of...
Or he'll dish it.
You know what? I'm going to sit and survey. You know what Russell Westbrook never does? Surveys the landscape. No. If Russell Westbrook was a quarterback, here's what he would do. Drop back, run.
Yeah.
There would be no... Russell, here's my scouting report with him as a quarterback. Doesn't get through his progressions, quick to void the pocket, highly questionable decision-making, hits explosive plays down the field, doesn't seem to have a good feel for reading defenses, explosive with his legs. I mean, that's what kind of feel like with Lamar Jackson a little bit.
Well,
only Lamar would survey it a little bit more before
he
took off.
I don't know. Lamar Jackson is a pretty good comp.
Lamar in the NFL drop, run.
That's it. You need to put that as Lamar Jackson's comp.
Russell Westbrook.
All right, 8:15 ESPN 97.5.
That is actually a great comp.
Yeah. What about your patio, though? That is a great patio.
Man, it is a great patio. Texas Custom Patios is the name of the company. And I found them because I found them. They didn't find me. I found them. They didn't have advertising that found me. I went searching for the best patio place I could find that where I felt like I was going to get high quality for the money that I was going to spend. I had a certain budget that I could spend. They worked with me on that. They really sold me. It's their process that sells you. And they've even got a section that says our process. And then Steven told me, I got all excited. I'm like, I don't know. I got to wait. And he said, that's fine. He said, here's how it usually works. Somebody will call. They get excited. Then they say, well, I got to wait. I got to talk to the wife. I got to see if I have the money for this. I got to do this. He said, and then they wait 3-4 months. And then you come back. And then you want to do it. And he said, we understand. And that's why we're patient with that. Their initial visit, you can find out everything you need with the initial visit. They will draw up the plans for your patio and show you exactly what your home will look like. And you'll be blown away how exact it is when they're all finished. Make sure that you go to the website, TexasCustomPatios.com. On their blog, they have a variety of questions that you want to ask. And they have answers right there. And they have their projects of the month. So if that's something outdoor living that is something that intrigues you or something that you love, their blog is absolutely for you. And of course, if you want to see my home before and after, go to tcplance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
If you are sick of drama, go to sportsmap.com and I wrote an article today. It's being well received, Del. I'm telling everybody get off my lawn, okay? I'm get off my lawn guy today.
You have a problem with the new age of sports?
I have a problem with the social media of sports.
You just want to...
All the drama
of sports. You just want to watch
today games.
All the self-snitching.
It's
a lot of self-snitching. It's not even about sports, though. People like... Look at me. I ran over a woman. Look at this dent in my car. That was an actual thing that happened. I guess you guys talked about yesterday. Like,
look at the
police are like, oh my God, thanks.
We appreciate it.
We just solved the case. Facebook cases are being solved around the country just from people searching Facebook.
No, I mean, I put in there the D'Angelo Russell stuff. I mean, how do you record your teammate talking about cheating on his girl
and put it out?
And then put it out there for the public?
Because D'Angelo Russell, how old was he at the time? Probably 20
or so. I don't care how old you are.
Well, what I'm saying is he probably was recording his teammates in high school or in college doing it.
What?
And
Reaching out. No.
I'm not saying everything is recorded.
Another man's business.
That's
out
not
there.
The point.
You know that.
That's not
when
the point.
You're 13.
You don't know. You don't do that.
Once again, not my point. He's probably recorded everything he's done since the age of probably 15.
And then posted it to social media.
Probably. They probably record everything.
No, he would have been. He would have been outed
for
that before.
I'm not talking about this specific incident. What I'm saying is he's probably in it. He's in a world where he records everything.
It doesn't matter. He posted it.
Once again, I'm not saying what he did was right. What I'm saying is he's done this. He's probably recorded. They probably record everything, and he did something stupid by posting this. But that's why I said how it happens. Phones are always out. Video is always being taken. Nothing is ever a secret. Everything has to be documented. And then he took it a step too far. That's how it happens.
Assume everyone's snitching on you is what Del's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's someone with the – yeah, people record everything, no matter what it is.
I thought this is a don't snitch culture. That we're in a society now, we don't tell on anyone.
What? Look.
So why are you on a self-snitch? Why is everything
a self-snitch?
Everybody self-snitches.
Everybody records everything, and D'Angelo Russell learned that is something, even now, when everybody records everything, you don't post that.
When somebody's being beaten in the streets, everyone's just like, hold on.
They take out their phones.
Well, are you doing it to call 911? No, I'm trying to record this so I can get it on my YouTube channel. Wow, we're not in a bad place. We're just fine.
I had a dream.
Hey, she needs help. Shut up. Don't talk.
I had a dream. You know, remember The Room and the little kid escaped? And I swear to God, I had a dream that the kid got out of the back of the truck, and then the guy who abducted him and the mom was running after him and caught, and I was able to catch the guy from behind, and I subdued him, and I had him on the ground. And there were all kinds of people around, and they were recording me, and I'm like,
they weren't helping you?
I was like, call 911, a-holes, instead of recording this. What, you going to sell this to TMZ? And
yeah,
that's what they do instead of helping a little kid who's been abducted by an a-hole.
Well, you've already taken care of the guy. Now we just got, it's the kid's fine.
We had to find the mom. We had to find Brie.
We got to document it.
We had to find Brie Larson.
Clearly.
We got to document it.
Captain Marvel doesn't need your help, John.
Brie Larson needed my help then.
Captain Marvel wouldn't need your help.
Here was the problem, though. I didn't know the code to get in, so we couldn't get her out. But I wanted to get there before the cops, because I had my recording going, me saving her, because that was the one that was going to be on TMZ.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You're from the Windy City. Is there going to be, or have you guys ever heard of Chicago, because that's a home of Jordan, being anti-LeBron at all? Like now? Because you got a lot of people there who are probably fans of LeBron. I mean, that's, LeBron's got the most fans in any city you go into. Are they protective of Jordan still?
I think the city? Anyone older.
Or Jordan's legacy?
Anyone older.
But probably not a 30-year-old basketball fan's not protective of Jordan, right?
What was there, 98? That's 20 years ago. Kid was 10. He was probably a Jordan fan at 10. I think you're probably younger.
A bigger LeBron fan.
A 20-year-old, no.
I bet he's a bigger Derrick Rose fan than he is a...
Probably.
He's one of the ones voting for Derrick Rose.
My son, in case in point, was a huge Derrick, but he was a Derrick Rose fan.
My kids are Damian Lillard fans.
Yeah. I mean, and he was like, he doesn't know Michael Jordan. I was like, hey, dude, he ain't no Mike. Slow down.
My kids like Harden, but they've gotten frustrated with, actually, to be honest with you, James Harden's performances in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs, in elimination games.
No, the playoffs. There have been plenty of games inside the playoffs that were not elimination games. I can go show them to you if you want. Where this is a fake narrative that's developed now. The James Harden is a good defensive player narrative because he's good in his post defense, which is not a majority of his defense.
No, right.
We really don't need a fight about this. James is not a plus defender. That's okay. Never in the history of the NBA, other than Kobe and Jordan, have we seen plus defenders from high-end scorers. It's not the norm. You exert so much energy on one side. Dominique was not a good defender. Larry Bird was not a good defender. You get to the high scores, Kiki Vandeweghe and Alex English, AI. They were not good defenders. AI would give you some pretty good reps, though. I mean, AI would get after you. But so it's not that big a deal. But it turns into, people get so sensitive about, because James had the, he's been awful at times. He's not awful defensively. He's just an average to below average defender. But he is an elite scorer. It all evens out. You're fine.
And listen.
But the playoff thing has been an issue.
But I think it's a style of play, too.
But you'll have people show who point out his stats, and they'll argue with you his stats. If you go look at shooting percentages, and if you go look at game by game, there are disappearances in games. My kids have been frustrated. They stay up and watch every game of every playoffs. And I have dealt with them at younger ages. And then now they get very, very, just like any of us, get frustrated. But they love, like, this generation of kids, they don't just cape for hometown guys. They will, man, Damian Lillard. And I guess I was like that some. John Jefferson was my favorite wide receiver.
Everybody was.
Up.
You like guys, yeah.
I liked a guy named Sammy White. I mean, I was like 5 at the time, but remember him with Minnesota Vikings that almost got killed by I think it was Jack Tatum. But Earl Campbell was my guy. Clyde Drexler was my guy.
Absolutely.
Dream was my guy. Like, I was primarily local, though. Especially as I got older, I was local.
Absolutely. But kids, no. I went through the same thing. Again, Derrick Rose. Why do you love Derrick? We saw him here in the Final Four. Yeah. Or no, in the regional final.
Oh,
no,
it was, dude, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. He was incredible. Like, I love that guy. I love that guy. So he followed him, and he was obsessed with Derrick Rose. And that's fine. Houston's still his team. But I want to tell you the truth. He's like, I can't watch the Rockets. They're so boring. They just dribble. This style of play really reminds me, and it's not as bad as Steven Coutinho because they win, but the isolation ball and just the dribble really is hard to watch.
But they also score about 20 points more per game.
Yeah.
And it's much more efficient.
Yes. No. Don't get me wrong, but it's still a style of play that is not conducive to kids.
The back it in to me was even worse.
Oh yeah,
like I the Steven Coutinho Rockets were. I hurt to think of that era of Rocket basketball.
That was the dark era.
It was the worst.
The worst.
And Charles Barkley kind of shepherded some of that in as well with his back it in, turning, looking, faking, turning. Like,
but the reason that you had to watch them is they won, and this team wins too. Now, when they don't win. When they were 41-41 a couple of years ago, that was almost unwatchable basketball. When this year, when they start, you're like, "What the bleep, dude? What is this?" Now, last year was a lot of fun because they won 65 games. You're like, "It doesn't
bother me as much." I guess I'm just used to it. It's not like this is brand new. And James is one of the more efficient players in the league, so I don't know. I guess it just doesn't bother me as much.
When
the drive and dish stuff.
What's his BJ? When
Okoji?
Yeah. Can't say it. When James is dribbling, and between his legs, and he's working on a rookie, and then the rookie just swats it away. I'm like, really, James? Really?
Well, you're going to get some of that. James is going to turn it over five times.
Yeah,
a game.
Yeah. Oh, but again, in the last 2 minutes of the game,
that's not good.
It was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was give the ball to Chris Paul every once in a while. Yeah. Maybe Chris Paul can actually set you up, James. That's what he does.
I do consider the last 2 minutes different from the first 46.
Yes.
The last 2 minutes are, I'm fine with the other stuff, but in the last 2 minutes, play efficient, play smart, play unselfish, play disciplined. That's how champions are made. Your last 2 minutes, the fourth quarter, the last 2 minutes, the last round of a boxing or an MMA fight. Like there's certain times you sharpen your focus in the postseason if you're a pitcher. You know, you don't nibble. You're the last two innings you manage differently. Whatever. There's championship times. Every game is a championship you're playing. And if it's close, your last 2 minutes have to be more focused, more disciplined, and they have to be more efficient. You can't turn it over. You need to get better shots. And that's where James, to me, for all his greatness, he settles for the step backs. He settles for shots when others might have better shots.
Doesn't even look to do anything else,
though. By the way, Dream used to do that all the time, too. As somebody who obsessed over Hakeem Olajuwon, Dream had an issue until he trusted his teammates, and starting in about 93, where he started kicking out to other people when he got doubled. Dream was a nightmare. If the ball went down and he got doubled and tripled, it was over because Dream was going to take a bad shot or turn it over. But
and then he let Kenny hit one. He let Sam hit one.
He started
to
trust his teammates, yeah.
Yep.
And that's how they were great. Yep. And he could be the greatest on the team, but you know, the total greatness is when true greatness is when other guys stepped up too.
Is this the quick break though?
No.
See, we got breaks now that are like a minute and a half long.
But we still got a live to do. Yeah, but
hey,
want me to talk about Yuval?
When we come back, by the way, there was a big NFL trade yesterday. Actually, I don't know, maybe it's not big, but there was some consequence there.
There's a lot to talk about there. Well, what I want to talk about right now, though, is Yuval over at Texas Mattress Makers and with the job that he does, and it's ridiculous to go anywhere else in this city. I'm telling you, you are going to pay about half the same mattress. I don't know how other mattress stores are open in this city when you have the option of what Yuval is doing. I don't know that other cities have the option of having a Texas Mattress Makers. Obviously not in other states. They're not going to call it Texas Mattress Makers. But the same concept of a manufacturer right there in that same building where he's making those mattresses. You've got a beautiful showroom where you see all of the beds that he's making on display. Cuts them, and you can see the inside of the bed, everything that goes into it. And as you go along, I mean, you could start at $349 and go up, and you can get, but that $349 bed is $700 at the other store. the $2,000 bed at Uval's is $4,000 or more at the national stores. This is how it is. When you're the manufacturer, you can slash prices, and Uval does. He deals in volume. He's killing it. And if you're buying your bed somewhere else, you're paying more than you have to. 4619 navigation in Lockwood, in Katy as well, 5609 Katy Freeway. I need you to get there, please. Texas Mattress Makers, it's the best sleep at the best price. TexasMattressMakers.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
We got to figure it out. We sucked on the defensive end tonight, you know. A lot of it was, you know, me switching on to some of those bigger guys, and I got to be better. Defensively, we got to keep them out the paint and just giving guys career nights like this.
That's Chris Paul. Whatever. It's All-Star break, so just forget about that. That was the last game, so it just goes that James is going to lose it, the last game of whatever.
That's not right.
That's not right. 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy is where Texas Mattress Makers is. My brain is not working the last couple of days.
That's the other one.
5026 East 3rd Street, 4619 Navigation. Cool. Those are the two Texas Mattress Makers. My brain is really, it's just not working very well. I've been a little under the weather. But
that's no excuse.
No, it's really not. But you want to talk about Joe Flacco.
Well, so
Joe Flacco gets traded to
for
Denver.
A mid-round pick. So the Denver Broncos know they need a quarterback. Case didn't work last year, so they added the big, quote-unquote, proven quarterback who, frankly, hasn't really done much for a while now. And they're going to add him for a mid-round pick. They recognize it might be tough to get the quarterback they want based on whatever their draft board looked like.
Is he that big an upgrade over Case Keenum?
I don't know.
I don't.
It fits more what Elway likes, bigger quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, but how much of that is on the Vance Joseph regime as opposed to Elway? Because Case Keenum was close to an MVP candidate the year before, and then just average at best last year.
Close to? How many votes did he get?
No. He played. He took him to the NFC Championship game.
I know, but he played for the Broncos and wasn't good for the Broncos, so it doesn't matter what happened the year before. Case didn't have a good year.
No, he didn't have a good year, but some of that is system and coaching.
Yeah, but some of it maybe was. I mean, that was the outlier year in Minnesota too.
He plays. He's playing pretty well.
Pull you up his numbers for you if you've. I mean,
well, here's Joe Flacco. Ross Tucker just tweeted this out, as a matter of fact, as you want to talk about
Case
this.
Case had no, the year before his 22-7, 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 4-1, 2-2, 9-6. I mean, there's nothing there. 22-7 was the outlier, and then he was 18-15. You can't roll with that.
But he was certainly trending up, and he had a great year, and we know he can play better than he did last year because we saw it. We saw him play better.
They have receivers there, though.
Well, okay.
Have receivers in Denver.
Well, here, and this is maybe where Joe Flacco will be better. Flacco supporters, NFL record 7 road playoff wins, 0 losing seasons in 9 years, played all 16 games, no skill position help last 4 years, hurt by injuries.
Now that's true. No. There hasn't been a skill position, which shows you he cannot rise above his surroundings.
Flacco detractors, below average rating the last 4 years, poor yards per attempt to TD and interception ratio.
Everything stats. The other group is he's a winner. Look at that. I mean, which also factors in defense. Which also factors in defense.
Especially in Baltimore.
It's always nice when you get credit for your defense and your quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. But
when it comes to quarterback performance,
Denver's defense is going to be pretty good too now.
Quarterback performance, Joe Flacco, since 2014, over the last 4 years since he turned 30, his touchdowns have been 64, and his interceptions have been 46. That's not that great.
Mm-mm.
64 to 46 over the last 4 years. You know what his record, his winning... What is it? What is, hold on. He doesn't have any losing records. What? Who said that?
Zero losing seasons in 9 years. That's, that he played all 16 games.
Oh, okay, because he was 3-7, 8-8, 9-7, 4-5. So actually, out of the last 4 years, he's been 3-7, 8-8, 9-7, 4-5. That is a straight, over the last 4 years, he has a losing record.
But he hasn't played in all 16 games.
Yeah, he doesn't get, I'm only giving him credit for the ones he played in. In games Joe Flacco played, he's had 24 wins and 27 losses over the last 4 years. So whatever that made up stat is.
Yeah, zero losing seasons in 9 years where he played all 16 games.
So we're just not, when he's hurt, we're not going to count that he was 3-7 in games he started?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's convenient.
That is convenient.
We're not gonna factor in that when he is...
If he stays healthy, then he's gonna not going to lose.
Oh, he's going to win the rest of them?
Mm-hmm.
He would have gone on a 6-game win streak when he's 3-7?
Well, here's another thing. He's 34 years old, right?
Yeah.
This is, again...
Is he 34? He was 33. Maybe he turned 34. Doesn't matter. He's getting older.
Yeah. Listen, this is another stopgap for Elway.
That's what it is. That's all it is.
Peyton Manning. Well, Paxton Lynch, at least he tried. He tried to get Paxton Lynch.
Second round pick on Brock Osweiler. This was a move that he made.
First rounder for Paxton Lynch.
First rounder for Paxton Lynch. Right.
Then Case Keenum, now Joe Flacco. Peyton Manning was a stopgap. Case Keenum was a stopgap.
A stopgap that gave you a Super Bowl.
Well, like, so, yeah, but it was still. But you knew it's not a long term answer.
No, you knew it wasn't. But that was a different deal.
But let's
kind of Chris Paul.
Let's just keep throwing.
Well, after Peyton's 50 touchdown year, you didn't expect him to fall completely off the face of the earth like that. That was a fast, fast fall off the face of the earth, yeah, for Peyton Manning. But yeah, you're right. Joe Flacco, first of all, for 4 years has been unimpressive for four straight years. During that 4 year period, he has not had a running game. He has not had receivers. That's all true. So that's accurate. It has not been a consistent group of talent around him. In fact, I would say that it's been in, you know, the bottom five of skill positions. So that's not his fault. So maybe he can have a resurgence. But even a resurgence for Joe Flacco, what does that mean? And so they gave up a mid-rounder for him. Hey, the Texans gave up a mid-rounder for Demaryius Thomas, and they cut him yesterday. So he was cleared, and he's gone. The Achilles, if not for the Achilles, maybe they would have kept him around as insurance for next year, but not at that cost, clearly. Not for the salary cap hit that it was going to give him. But maybe they would have said, hey, we'll renegotiate with you a two-year deal, depending on what the market looks like. But they rented him. They basically gave away a rental, a fourth-round pick for him? So they rented him for some games. This is probably a two-year rental, is my guess, and it gives them a chance to not reach on quarterback this year, which is important also.
No, they don't have to reach, which is a bad thing.
He's not going to do anything. No, their window's closed. AJ and Fred asked me that. What do you think that on our show, The Blitz? AJ said, what do you think the window is for the Broncos? I said, actually, I think it's closed already. I think it's already closed. I understand Von Miller wears cowboy hats and stuff like that, and so you think that they're relevant, but they're not really relevant anymore because of where the Chargers are and where the Chiefs are. And I know football can go up and down very, very quickly. I don't feel like they're a relevant team.
Well, the Chargers' window's closing. I mean, they better, yeah.
A big Philly's still playing well.
No, he's still playing well, but how much?
Young defensive talent.
But you know, that's going to fall off.
See, I don't feel like their window's closing as much. I don't feel like they're as reliant. They lost their secondary pieces, and they have no offensive. They have a below average offensive line in Denver. They have, who's their running back in Denver right now? Who I'm missing somebody.
Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. He's a good player. He's small, and he was out with injury this year, right? Didn't he miss time or maybe just one game? They did draft Royce Freeman too,
yeah,
who's not as good. But they got beat. They're not as good in the secondary. They lost secondary pieces. It's just not the same team. Demaryius gone. They got to figure out if they're going to hang on to Emmanuel Sanders. I like Sutton from Not Sutton.
Yeah.
What's his
Cortland
name?
Cortland Sutton.
Cortland Sutton from SMU.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They're going to be third or fourth in the division, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Flacco's not going to change that?
No, but he needs to find that franchise quarterback.
Okay, well,
and you know what? He hasn't been good at it.
So Case was 18-15 last year, touchdowns to interceptions. Will Joe Flacco, I think he'll be under 15 interceptions. Joe Flacco over under 20.5 touchdowns. What do you like? He's had more than 20 one time. He had 20 in 2016. In his career, how many times do you think Joe Flacco has had more than 20 touchdowns?
Really?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six times
he's had 20 or more. If I say 21 or more, if I say 22 or more touchdowns, then we go 1, 2 times.
It's 3. 22, 25,
I'm sorry, 22 or more, yeah.
Yeah.
3 times. That's it. 22 is not that much. Deshaun Watson almost had 50 this year.
No, he didn't.
He did have 50.
No.
48?
No.
How much did he end up with, Dell?
He didn't.
Is it 42?
No. You don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going off of John's preseason.
I know. Thing. He said 50 or something close to it. Deshaun.
And he was right there.
Well, sure, if you add 24 more touchdowns.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I was talking about these two seasons.
Combined? 2017 and 18?
Yeah. I'm going like an NBA season. 17, 18.
It's not how the NFL works.
Kind of is.
Even he would have 45. So he'd be closer.
So that's what I'm saying.
Deshaun Watson has never won less than 11 games when he's played a 16-game schedule.
Thank you.
He did that once. So you were correct.
Yeah, never in his life. So get some.
Get some of what?
Yeah,
he's finished with 11 wins. He's finished with 11 wins or more every season.
What's his record in playoff games? What's his record in playoff games?
I don't have that stat.
It's an easy one, actually.
Nope. Nobody has that stat.
We all saw it.
We'll have to look it up on the other side right here. We'll have to look it up on the other side.
What's his QBR or quarterback rating in playoff games?
They don't have it on this website.
3776.
Yes, they do.
They only keep regular season
No, they don't.
And college stats.
Okay.
I've got his college.
When you look at stats, do they include the playoffs?
No.
No, thank you.
But they do have a certain section for playoffs. What's this quarterback rating in playoff games?
This site doesn't have playoff stuff. They only have college
playoffs. Which side are you on?
They have college playoff stats.
Which side are you on?
Footballintelligence.com.
I feel like you made that up.
Hey, you know what he made up? That Jeff Aronoff is Italian. He's not Italian, okay? It's a rock-a-hard.
I made up Italian voice.
I don't know why. Jeff Aronoff's like, I'm not Italian, okay? Why you got to put Italian on me? Okay, I'm not Italian. He doesn't want to be Italian.
You want a calzone delivered with your mama? I'm going to give you a big sack of greasy calzone.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Thank you. Okay? Jeff Aronoff's just sitting over here going, hey, why can't I be me? I want to be me. Why can't I be me? And bring tile and granite and marble to people's homes and their businesses. If you're building a hotel, Jeff Aronoff will put in all the vanities, all the countertops. He'll do it all. You're building a bar, whatever you're building. Jeff Aronoff can help you with this stuff. All you got to do is call him and let him help you. Because you don't know. Okay, I don't know what kind of countertop I want. I don't know what I want. Outdoor kitchen. I never put one in before. Well, Jeff Aronoff has done it all the time. Put ours in. He did a wonderful job. And obviously my wife's going to pick the stuff, but they looked it over together. But let's do this. And look, we got a beautiful outdoor kitchen, and it was wonderful and certainly helped sell the house. And that's the thing. You've got to improve your house, people. If your house is falling apart and looking crappy, your countertops, your vanities, your fireplace, your outdoor patio, you got to clean it up. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822. 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, You're more than welcome to do that. Elway is overrated as GM. Somebody tweeted yesterday, well, this secures John Elway. John Elway is trying to secure his spot as the greatest Denver quarterback ever. That's for sure.
Well, Peyton was there.
Elway is still their greatest quarterback ever.
I know he is, but yeah. Peyton did have the best season in Bronco quarterback history.
Well, let's face it. Look at Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler. They're almost the same guy, aren't they?
Big,
tall, non-lanky, non-athletic.
Not good quarterbacks?
Yeah, not good quarterbacks.
Joe Flacco.
I mean, he's looking for a type. Flacco's big, tall.
Well, when he's tried to go acquire or, draft a guy, it certainly hasn't worked out. His big free agent acquisition in his 10 years, the Peyton Manning one, and that worked out. So I guess he's trying to go recreate that with another Super Bowl winner, not nearly the level of Peyton Manning, but...
He loves non-athletic quarterbacks.
Well, Case
except
was.
Case. Yeah. Case is the outlier.
That's true, and it didn't work out. So yeah. he's back to what he knows.
So sports always goes in cycles, right? It either transforms or goes in cycles. We don't know what's going on right now. Kyler Murray is going to be interesting because this is either going to be a further transformation. I don't know that we'll ever see a quarterback this slight, although – I guess Eric Burkhardt came out and said, which, for those who don't know, Kyler Murray's agent is the same one who's the agent of Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, same agent as Johnny Manziel. I don't know if that matters, but he was Johnny's agent, too.
Why you got to put Manziel on him?
Well, I mean, he was. He's dealt with it. He was a first-round quarterback who was a little undersized, who was outside mm-hmm. the type. When Johnny Manziel, for Russell Wilson, when he succeeds, it makes it easier to say, hey, Kyler Murray could succeed too. When Johnny failed, it also, I think, small quarterbacks were like.
Yeah, but Baker made up for that.
Exactly. It's always like if Kyler flops, small quarterbacks are in trouble again. Small quarterbacks are going to be in trouble again. You know, it really is amazing that in 2001, Michael Vick is such an outlier. There is not a lot of difference between Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson.
No.
In terms of how they played, I would say Lamar is a better passer. They're both electric as runners. Truth be told, Kyler Murray's game is more like Michael Vick. Kyler's got a pretty good arm. Michael Vick had a cannon. He had no control in terms of pace and touch. Everything was a rifle shot.
Kyler's got great touch down the field.
He's got good deep ball touch. Now, Oklahoma makes it easy because you get a throw in space and that you just have to float it in. Don't overthrow your guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb and Marquise Brown are going to be running free.
Yeah,
just feather
I get
it in there.
That. Some guys run free in the NFL too, and you got open guys down the field.
Very.
I mean, no, you got people throw deep and you have guys open.
But you are usually contested. That's why it's important. Like Baker, 3 straight years, you would watch throws. Like I wanted to crap on the deep ball accuracy because his numbers were at 50%. That's incredibly high for deep ball accuracy.
Yeah.
Anything in the 40s is usually pretty good, unless you're throwing. On air.
Why don't you just come in here and make some noise, Raheel?
And so when I watched Baker, it was clear he just had real touch down the field. I can't quite tell with Kyler, but it feels like he's got that kind of touch because he can feather it in there too. But you see it when they're tightly contested, if they can throw to the back shoulder over mm-hmm. the top and drop it in a bucket between the sideline and you know the hash just perfectly. But if Kyler flops, it's going to be a massive hit for athletic or mobile slash runners who are undersized. If that pops up again, he'll be the type that people look at. Same thing is going to be said for Lamar Jackson, who is a unique quarterback. The fact that Michael Vick went first when football forever has coveted the pocket passer, and especially back then. Mm-hmm. Remember Carson Palmer... The year before was the first pick of the draft, right? And then it was Vic, and then it was David Carr. Well, which one of those looks different?
No, Vic stayed in school, so he didn't come to the Texans. It was Carr and then Vic.
Vic came out early, 2001. Trust me.
Vic's final year was 2000.
He yeah, you're right. 2000. Yeah, you're right.
Carson Palmer came out after him.
Yeah,
Carson Palmer is 2003.
Right, right.
After David?
That was the draft. The 2003
after
draft.
After David.
David was 2002 draft.
So what I'm saying is that actually Michael
Vick. Oh, no, you're
Vick,
right. Yeah.
Michael Vick was a running quarterback with a big arm who was like 6 feet tall. He actually, that was incredibly abnormal for the NFL in 2000. Drew Brees was the first pick of the second round, and he barely hit 6 feet, and he came from a quote-unquote system at Purdue with Joe Tiller. That was actually, that draft, Michael Vick first, and even Drew Brees, first pick of the second, the 33rd pick, those were, or actually 32nd pick at that time, those were highly unusual draft picks for that time, because there was certainly a type. Now, Johnny kind of was going to break the mold, and then he didn't. And Lamar Jackson didn't go until – Lamar was an electric quarterback.
Well, except he was 6-1.
He almost didn't even go
in the
first.
Yeah, and he's 6-1 as a starter.
Yeah, but he almost didn't go in the first.
Right.
So everyone's going to be looking at him the same way RG3 may have been looked at with – even though they're different quarterbacks. But you're always looking for who to – that's why these comps are so important for so many people, because NFL people want to know – who does he remind me of?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can see some success, then I can get on board with drafting a guy earlier. Right now, Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield are why Kyler Murray is going to go inside
but
the top
remember, 10. The initial thing was the agent said before Lance pulled a Lance.
Oh, yeah.
The agent
right.
said that Kyler Murray is 204 pounds, which is about 20 pounds more than most people think he is.
Dude.
So we'll see how that. Now, you can front, and but the combine will let us
I
know.
I will say this. Dan Patrick and all those guys, after he left, they said he's thicker than you think. I've never met Kyler, so I can't tell you. He's thicker and bigger than you think. That's what I think everybody gets the impression after they see
him. I would have put a substantial amount of money on an over-under of 190 pounds based on just watching on tape. I would have said 190, but he is... Like, I also would not say there's no chance. Look, he's not even 5'10". Yeah. Oklahoma's already said he's 5'9 and 7'8".
Yeah, right. No, that's probably true. But everybody says he's built better than you think. Russell Wilson is thicker than you. I met Russell Wilson. He is a little bit thicker than you think. Kyler Murray has
that same
kind of thing.
The average NFL starter is? He's a shade under 6'3", and 220. It's
219. Yeah. 9 o'clock even right here on ESPN 97.5. It's GiveMeTheVIN.com time. It's time for you to get the price for your car. And why would you pay? Why would you take less than you can possibly get? Well, I want to do it through the dealership. Well, John Clay Wolf will do it through your dealership. Texas Direct Auto is going to give you a price. CarMax is going to give you a price. Whatever price that they give you, John Clay Wolf will beat them. If he can't beat them, he'll send you $100. That's how simple this is. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf says he buys hundreds of cars a month from the city of Houston. Don't get less for your trade-in than you can. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.